Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of Plugged In, a Post Media podcast taking you down Canada's electric vehicle highway. I'm your host, Andrew McCready. Why aren't there more EV taxis? That's something I think about every time I hail a cab. And while it's true that a seemingly growing number of Uber drivers are going electric, the traditional taxi cab seems to have missed out on the EV revolution. To help answer this question, I'm joined by two guests today, which is a first for the Plugged In podcast, so please bear with me as I tackle a two-person interview. Matt Grace is a Calgary-based sustainability consultant and researcher with more than three decades of experience. He is currently working on a study with Green Calgary, funded by Alberta EcoTrust, to look into why there is just one EV taxi in all of Alberta. Daryl Kolowoski is the proud owner of that EV cab. He is also the co-founder of Canada Electric Car Management, an Edmonton-based company that works with companies to assist them in the transition to electric vehicles. He is also co-owner of Current Taxis, an all-electric cab company with fleets in Kelowna and Victoria, BC. Thanks very much for joining us today, Matt and Daryl. Okay, we're going to start with Matt, and my listeners can distinguish these two gentlemen. One has an English accent and the other is a good old Canadian, good old Albertan. So that's how you know who's speaking. Okay, Matt, this is a question I asked everybody. I'm sure you realized it was coming. The first EV you ever drove and your impression of it at the time.
I love that question. I think the first EV I drove was when I test drove a Tesla, which I later bought. And interestingly enough, I was dead set on a plug-in hybrid, as I live in Alberta and I drive to the mountains a lot. And I just didn't love them. And as soon as I sat in the Tesla, I had a silly grin on my face. And 30 seconds later, I think I was probably definitely buying it.
So what did you love about it?
My analogy is, if you're old enough to remember cell phones coming into existence, the first ones were just a bit clunky, right? You had to press the number 1 3 times to get a C. And everything was a bit disjointed, right?
Yeah.
You're probably not old enough, are you, Andrew?
Oh, I remember them. The brick.
Yeah. And now you pick up most cell phones and they just work.
Yep.
And I felt that with the electric car, the Tesla. And then my wife said to me, if you buy one, will you stop talking about it? And I said, probably not.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, you bought one and you still talk about them.
Yes.
How about you, Daryl? First EV you drove and your impression of it at the time.
Okay. Well, this is an interesting. So first EV that I drove will have been a Model X.
Okay.
Tesla Model X. It was everything I expected it to be and not everything I expected to be at the same time. I thought I knew what I was stepping into and, you know, what it would feel like to drive. And I had, you know, I've always been into high performance cars and motorbikes and all the rest. So I figured I would have a pretty good idea that this wouldn't give me the, you know, knocking the socks off my feet kind of impression that it ended up doing. But it did. It was, I think just the smooth power of it, like the instant takeoff, the quiet of it is probably one of the bigger things. And just like, this was back in 2016 when they just came out too. So it was,
right.
There wasn't a lot of people out there. Not a lot of people knew what it was. And So it was, you know, and that's the one with the falcon wing doors too, right?
Right,
So
right. Very unique vehicle.
very, very unique. And yeah, I remember I ended up at a set of lights with a buddy with me, and Mustang wanted to race me in it. And I ended up telling the guy, like, my buddy kind of called him on, like, yeah, let's go. And the guy was like, he had no idea what he was even up against. And he said, you know, let's go. And I said, okay, tell him I'll give him a 3-car head start. And he was like, really? And yeah, just tell him that. So he told him the guy, and the Mustang is, of course, laughing about it. And so the light turns green, and I, you know, one 1,000, two 1,000, three, and I pin on it, and he's gone. And I caught up to him in, you know, no time at all, and zip past him up to the next lights. And then, you know, he came up to me next lights, and holy geez, you know, what is that thing? What is that? I was like, this is the new soccer mom's vehicle. It's
Don't
like, what?
mess with them.
No, yeah. And ever since then, my kids now tell me I'm not allowed to bully Mustangs. So
Right.
there's a few that you probably can, the higher end ones, but the average Mustang that's on the road, you just it's just too mean to be on. While I pick on the Mustang's my former gas love car from my, you know, childhood. So I don't play with the ones that I know I'm going to beat, because it's kind of takes the fun away from it, right? It's the ones that it's the new higher end ones that are coming out, the GT500s. Those will give the Mustangs or give the Teslas a little more run, but still at the same time, you know, the Teslas will still win, right? But it's a little
Yes.
more of a competition that way.
Okay, well let's move on now to the topic of our discussion here, which is a fascinating one, and one I think probably a lot of people have thought about, and that's electric vehicles as taxis. Matt, you're kind of involved in a study. Why don't you tell us about what that is and why you are doing it?
So I'm currently on a gap year, and I've been a sustainable buildings engineer for 30 years. And then I've been doing some work with Alberta EcoTrust, who are the first and I think maybe the only organization in Alberta that focuses only on funding environmental work. And they identified mobility as a key area in moving towards net zero. And within that, they identified taxis. So I'd been getting to know Daryl a bit and some of his work, and I thought we could do a really fun project there. So Daryl and I have partnered with Green Calgary, who's a charity that's been promoting sustainable living for 3 decades and a bit more. And really, we see the taxi drivers as the small lever that could potentially have a very, very strong leverage in the uptake of electric vehicles and moving towards Calgary and Edmonton's goals of achieving net zero. And we also see that taxi drivers have had a pretty tough rub of the green recently with COVID lockdowns, with the increase in rideshare systems, services such as Uber and Lyft. They haven't had a lot of good news. So we think if we can get the right information to the taxi drivers and the taxi driver companies at the right time, they would see the benefits for electric vehicles compared to ICEs when they're looking at changing. And then that in turn would show that the users of taxis and people would see more electric vehicles driving around, and then it would kind of spread the word that way.
Okay, so Daryl, as Matt mentioned, you're involved in this. What do you bring to the table? What is Matt's the researcher? What are you? What's your contribution?
So I currently, along with my own company, Canada Electric Car Management, we do leasing from businesses to business for Teslas. EVs, but our business is generally Teslas right now. It's because that's what the market's demanding.
Other
So
manufacturers available.
yeah, there's others available. There definitely is. It's just this is where the network is currently, right? And where we're headed. So we started off doing leasing Teslas to Uber drivers pre-COVID, and trying to get them to understand the benefits of that. So we had a number of those. We had 3 cars going in the Edmonton Calgary area back in 2019, and then COVID hit, and of course everything shut down. So we were trying to, okay, well, how do we keep the cars moving essentially, and keep the business moving forward through this? And so back in 2017, a company in Kelowna started called Current Taxi, and they're an all Tesla taxi company. They started fresh from the ground. They were never a gas taxi company. It was just a vision from the owner there. So I'd heard about these guys, and I kind of said to my business partners, like, hey, can we have a meeting with these guys somehow, and let's chat with them and figure it out. So sure enough, we got a meeting. They came down to Edmonton. We met up with them. We decided, yep, we're going to go into business together. So they took all of our cars off of us, leased them, and then we bought into their company. So we're shareholders of the company as well now. So that's kind of where now I've got all of this taxi data. And so we've been, since 2017 now, Current Taxi has been in Kelowna, and they're in Victoria again now. We were in Victoria kind of right as COVID was starting. We launched in Victoria, so it was kind of a short-lived thing, and then we had to close it down because of COVID, and then now it's back running again. So Kelowna and Victoria are cities that we're going with, and I guess I've got all the maintenance data and the long-term costs and why it's worth it to do that, as well as a lot of my own, running the model myself under Uber. I did some taxi driving as well, and we're really trying to break into the Alberta market now. Kelowna and BC is very already open to electrics, and they don't have the kind of resistance that they do here. So
right.
We've actually just partnered with Airport Taxi out of Edmonton, and so they've now got one car that they're trying out. And so it's actually the first electric taxi in Alberta, full electric taxi, is running in Edmonton right now.
We also see obviously the huge potential in emissions reductions, which is what Alberta EcoTrust is all about.
Right.
And we think even with the dirtier-ish grid we have in Alberta, politics aside, it's around about half of the emissions. And probably, transportation is somewhere usually reported about 15% of global CO2 emissions. So we have to tackle the road transportation within that. And we kind of think if we can make electric vehicle taxis work in Calgary and Edmonton, we can kind of show that they work anywhere.
Right.
Because we've got a pretty tough climate. We can get minus 40 for a few weeks. We can get plus 35, maybe even warmer now. And also, these are two cities with quite significant urban sprawl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we think we could kind of be the poster boy and probably one of the hardest places to do it without going super far north.
Right. I guess the data that Daryl has called from Kelowna is somewhat applicable. It is colder there, let's say, than Victoria. So, I mean, not as cold, because that would be obviously a concern for a taxi driver, would be as soon as the snow and temperatures fall, that suddenly their whole kind of model might fall apart or at least become a challenge.
Yeah, I'll jump in on that one. That's actually a lot of where we're meeting resistance right now from some of the drivers, is a lot of the misinformation. And that's why we want to get out on here and try and eliminate that. And with the study that we're doing in general, because it, like, the one taxi driver I'm talking to, he really wants a Tesla, but, he has a friend that told him that the heat won't work in the wintertime and the battery will freeze.
right.
And I'm, it's
yeah.
like,
yeah,
these, and again, like you said, with Kelowna, it is a little warmer there, but then to counter that, there's a lot of hills and mountains that, don't have. Right.
Right.
So,
right.
They still get minus 40, not as often or as, as much as we do. But they still get it, right?
Yeah,
they still get a lot of cold, and they're going, taking runs, up to Coquihalla, up to Kamloops and back. And, they do all kinds of that, all through the mountains as well. So I would say it's definitely quite comparable. Like I said, it's not quite, they won't get the week of 40 below like we get.
I've developed a whole new level of respect for taxi drivers in Calgary, because part of the process and finding out what they know and don't know and would like to know about electric vehicles, it's just taking taxi rides. And we can get our questionnaire done in about a $10 to $15 taxi ride. And there's some great characters out there. And I find, I'd love to know what you think, Daryl. They either will tell you everything, and they've got these fantastic stories of what they've done over their decades of driving, or they're silent. But what I have picked up is that their taxi vehicle, that is their lifeline.
Right.
So for me, if my electric vehicle doesn't work quite right. It's mildly inconvenient for the taxi drivers. This is their livelihood and their daily transport, and they work hard. And quite often these cars are double shifted or even triple shifted. So for them to make a leap into the unknown and move out of their Toyota Corolla seems to be the one of choice in Calgary that works, maybe something might work a bit better. That's a huge leap of faith. So I don't know what you found with the shift work and how hard they work their vehicles, Darryl.
It's varying a bit because the majority of the drivers that I've pulled in Edmonton just work their own, like they own the car and they run one shift. So they're, you know, they're anywhere from 8 to 14 hours a day, I guess, depending on, you know, the day and if there's events happening, and they can kind of target certain areas and that.
Okay, let's take a break right here. And I mean, this is leading into a really interesting discussion, I think, which is going to be about the obvious monetary benefits to operating an electric taxi, but also kind of the challenges, particularly if you're one that needs to run three shifts a day. So we'll be right back. And we're back. Okay, just before the break, we were saying, or you guys were saying something interesting that is to me the biggest, I won't say issue, but challenge of this is there's a saying, I think it's a trucking company saying, but it's, if the wheels ain't turning, you ain't earning. Mm-hmm. A lot of cabs, as you mentioned, maybe three shifts. So they're essentially 8 hour, 8 hour, 8 hour. Finding a gas vehicle, even a gas hybrid, obviously, just fill it up in 5 minutes and you're away. Charging is a challenge. So maybe Darryl, you can speak to that from a real world perspective. You did mention that the guys that are running the Teslas with you are one owners, so they don't really have that challenge, but you've certainly probably modeled it in your mind. How would that work? So what are solutions to that maybe?
Actually, I can speak to real world of this because in Kelowna, the taxi cars, so they're the company owned cars. So we have employees that run them. So like I can speak to one of my cars and this is kind of one that I'll, we bought it and it was originally an Uber car, Model S, in 2019. We spent $65,000 on this car in 2019, ran it for Uber. Then it's been in Kelowna ever since. That car now, just about a week ago, passed 500,000 kilometers on that car.
Wow.
It has, the equivalent gas car would have paid the same in gas costs. So $65,000 is what it has saved over the equivalent gas vehicle to that. Now, in specifics of refueling, like you're talking about, they do a lot of it at the shift. So in Kelowna, our headquarters is based out of the hotel where the supercharger is, actually.
Oh, that's
so cool. when they do shift changes, like we'll have kind of like a half hour sometimes or an hour in between two shifts, like if it's a slow period. So right. The one guy will plug in and basically, you know, do his inspection, close out his shift, and he'll take off. The other person will show up half an hour later. They'll, you know, reinspect the car and, you know, go around, do their thing, finish charging, and then they're off for their shift. Now, what they'll do a lot of times too is they'll reset back to, like, you know, if they get half their shift done and, oh, you know, maybe we'll get a long trip somewhere, I just don't want to be low. Anytime they're by that supercharger, they'll go back and plug in, right? Because for one, it's kind of a centralized area, so they could get a lot of trips from there. Or there's kind of two on either side of Kelowna right now. So that's kind of, if things are slow, you go charge, right? Instead of driving around in circles. The app that they run under will kind of hit you anyways. Like it's all algorithm based now, right? There's not the driver, you know, there's not the dispatcher anymore that likes this driver better than that driver and gives this person more work. So it's, right. It took that human element out, which was good, right?
Because yeah, it's more efficient. It's more efficient now.
Way more. And then a lot of infighting ended up happening. You know, the dispatcher likes Bob more than Sally. And
of course,
you know,
so Matt, have you, I mean, obviously there's a fuel saving. This is something in EVs, that is the argument often because they do cost more typically, but there isn't a cost of ownership that eventually you hit a break even mark. But there's other things involved with maintenance and things, especially with cabs. I would imagine they're driven so much and cover so much that things are going to wear out quicker. But in EVs, they don't as much.
Absolutely, yes. There's definitely cost savings. There is a I found it's quite difficult to draw an exact parallel between a gas car and the equivalent ICE, because then they're not exactly the same. There was one study just published earlier this year in June, which showed fairly consistent 60% reduced operating costs. In addition, what we're keen to look at, as well as the CO2 savings, as well as the fuel savings, as well as the maintenance savings, is we think there's an equity piece there that electric vehicles could happen. If you're a taxi driver and you're idling to stay warm, why should you be breathing in those combustion fumes? We also see taxis, particularly in our two cities, in Calgary and Edmonton, they're actually a vital part in moving people around. They're part of that integrated network of people who cannot take public transit and maybe have to get to a particular appointment and so on. And so if we're bringing the quietness and the zero tailpipe emission benefits to kind of schools and hospitals and care centers, then there are many other benefits other than the cost savings and the emissions reductions.
Okay, so
seeing that's huge.
So benefits, what about barriers? Either one of you, what are the barriers that are involved?
I'll kick off and I'll let Daryl get in there, because I'd like to paint this image as the taxi drivers and the electric vehicle taxis being this small lever, and if we can make it work for them, we will see a much bigger uptake from the general driving public. What I've seen is there are either taxi drivers that I've talked to that are really interested, and they're quite well armed with a lot of information. But like Daryl said, there's the what aboutism. They've heard that they freeze up in the winter and all these ridiculous things. But they're genuinely interested. But then I've also come across a significant number that are just no, never. I'll do a hybrid because I know what a hybrid is, I think. And also, I find it interesting, there are some taxi drivers I've talked to that didn't really know that what a battery electric vehicle was. So we're having these conversations and these amazing podcasts, but sometimes we need to think, well, let's make sure everybody has that level playing field of information, that they're really that simple. And I was explaining to one taxi driver who was a wonderful guy, and he was changing his oil every week because he was doing his 300 kilometers a day, which seems to be about usually the top limit. And he could not believe when I said there's no oil to change in an electric vehicle. And he's spending this money every week because this is his prize asset and his income. So I think there's a need for really basic level of information.
Yeah. And transmission fluid and brakes. Brakes are going to last a lot longer, and all these kind of maintenance issues, right? So Daryl, I mean, you have the real world. You're living this. So what are the barriers that you guys have kind of come across? Is it simply just education of taxi drivers, or are there kind of other barriers that are, you know, more not opinion based but actual real factual stuff?
I think a lot of the barriers have been knocked down over the years. Like, the cost has dropped so dramatically, and to the fact that you can easily buy a used Tesla and still run it for a number of years without issue. I don't think I think you hit it on the head with information. That is the biggest battle that probably me and every other, you know, new EV owner has. When we start getting it, you get your friends that are all curious and they want to know, right? Oh, but I heard this, but I heard that. Right. And it's all this until they know somebody that actually has it and can give them real world, you know, information. That's honestly going to keep still being the strongest point of holdback for sure. Is that.
Yeah. I was thinking something Matt said too, was about, you know, changing people's perception, and it'll lead to a larger adoption outside of taxi fleets. You guys both said it at the beginning when I asked you about the first EVs you drove. One huge impression for everybody, either driving or being a passenger, is how quiet and smooth they are. So I'm sure there are a lot of people that are getting in these taxis in Kelowna and Victoria, and hopefully soon in Edmonton and Calgary, that will, when they get in the back seat, that'll be their first time ever in an electric vehicle. And they're going to go across, they're going to go across town and they're going to realize this thing is just a car, but you know, it's got, it feels like a car. It's got all the stuff the car has inside, yet it's so quiet and smooth. So that's kind of something which will kind of be a light bulb moment for people, I would assume.
You know what? It's her company is Butts in Seats. Get them in there. And that's what sells those cars. Like I personally did just shy of 4,000 Uber trips in the time that I was Ubering prior to COVID. And I would say just as an off number easily, you know, but again, this is talking 2018, 2019, probably 80 to 90% of my customers that came in the car have never been in a Tesla before. So you're hitting that market every, and actually, interestingly, since then I did Uber, I had a number of people have come back to me. I'm a big member of Tesla Owners Club of Alberta. It's just a the group club. So people have come there, they found me there and they're like, hey, you're the reason I bought a Tesla. Right. And I was like literally a guy yesterday told he, I used to rent the cars on Turo as well. So that one guy told me this morning that he rented it from me back in 2020 and he's got a Model S now because of the one he rented from me. And he remembers, you know, the whole conversation that I had with him. I told him like, don't be afraid to hammer on it, like enjoy the car and step on it and use it for what it is, you know? And he's like, yeah, he's like, it didn't, he's like, you know, I got around the corner and I was like, yeah, I need to find a way to get in into one of these permanently.
Right. So it makes me think of something. I did a story years ago. I don't know if you know the history of the hybrid taxi cab, but it began in Vancouver. A guy by the name of Andrew Grant in 2000 bought a Toyota Prius. Toyota didn't want to sell him one because they knew he wanted to make a taxi out of it. They didn't want that to happen because they didn't know, they didn't want, I mean, the car had just come out, right? This was the first hybrid. And he made it work. And now you'd be hard pressed to find any taxi in Vancouver, Metro Vancouver, that isn't a hybrid. But he had a lot of people who would, I mean, he didn't have a lot anecdotally, but people would come up to it and see hybrid badging on and say, oh, I'm not getting in that. It's going to catch fire or something. Right. So I mean, I'm kind of having a deja vu experience here with what's happening now with EVs. You know, the barriers perceived or real that were there for the hybrids, and those have all been broken down. So it bodes well, I think, for the future of EVs. Is Elon Musk aware of your salesmanship of these vehicles, Daryl? I mean, surely he must give you a break on cars. And no. Does Tesla care if you turn them into cabs? Like I say, Toyota really was concerned. But as a final piece, Toyota actually bought that car off Andrew and gave him a new one when it hit 1 million kilometers. And they took back to Toyota and tore it apart to find out, you know, how it had worked and how it was, but they gave him a new one. So he became a hero, but Tesla doesn't, they're aware that you're doing this. I mean, is there any communication between you?
So in with Current Taxi, when they started in 2017, it was talked, there was conversations with Tesla and them at the time. And one of the things that they had said, like they have a policy that if you're using it for commercial purposes, you're not supposed to have the free supercharging. In the older cars, so like the free elect. Now, because of what we were doing and where we were doing it, Tesla allowed us any used cars that we bought retain the full warranty and free supercharging. Anything new we buy has no warranty.
Okay.
So all of the Model 3s, all of the Model Ys we have, no warranty on them. And that really hasn't mattered a whole lot, like, to be honest.
Right. Is there communication between you? I mean, are you updating them? Are they curious about how many miles? Or I'm assuming maybe in America there are, or in the United States there are Tesla cabs going.
Yeah. So I think from what I understand, I think other than like Hertz rentals and stuff for a cab industry, we have the most in North America with Current Taxi. There's a couple other ones that have like single taxis or a couple, but like for only, and an only Tesla taxi company, we're the only one. Now we don't have regular communications with Tesla. They do, like, other than you know, when the Rangers do some servicing and stuff on the vehicles and that. But they have a very intimate into the cars on the data that they're getting from us driving. So I think they get a lot of the conversation that they need through that data that they're just naturally getting. Right. So, you know, we had some talks with them, you know, about getting a supercharger in different locations and stuff like that over the years. But generally, it's pretty quiet. We don't have Tesla's just like that. I think with anybody, they're just
for sure.
Very private, kind of quiet company, right?
So for sure. So Daryl, are you? I mean, you must be quite fascinated to see when Matt's study is published, when it's released, what the findings are. I mean, is it something, are you looking upon it as kind of a blueprint for once it's out there to maybe make entree into Calgary and Edmonton? Is that like part of your business plan?
Yeah, well, we've already got one going in Edmonton, so that's...
Which we think is the only electric vehicle taxi in the whole of Alberta, as far as we can tell.
Yeah, all of Alberta, right.
Yeah,
right,
that's right. That came from the owner of one of the taxi companies. So they're all, the taxi companies are all very tight in the province. They know one another. There's really, what is there, 4 in Calgary and 3 in Edmonton.
Right. Vancouver similar. Yeah, Vancouver
similar.
Yeah,
so they've all like amalgamated, right? So
Right.
But yeah, that was what we were told, is that was the first one. And we kind of put that claim out there and nobody, you know, has jumped in and said otherwise.
And I guess from their point of view, I mean, they're it's all about revenue. And if they can decrease costs, they don't care what they're driving, be it electric, yeah. be it water powered. So
yeah,
it must be on their radar big time.
Yeah, a lot of it is the drivers or the owners in this province versus
yes,
you know, like it's probably more like an 80% ownership, 80-20 probably. We're still getting those numbers figured out, but that's looking to be what it's like. And so you got to sell it to that person, right? You don't have to sell it to a company. So you know, and again, a lot of them are. Like you said about the Prius. Oh, we've known the Prius has been good since 2000. It's got, you know, all this data on it, and it's been a good hybrid, and you know, it's the gold standard, right? So it's trying to like, okay, we want to kick the gold standard off its post and right. and replace it, right? So
it's an evolution. That's what we're talking
that's
about.
That's right.
Here. Yeah. Okay. One question for each of you. I'm going to go back to you, Daryl. So something in your resume or your resume, your bio kind of tweaked me. And that said, you spent a lot of time previous life, oil and gas business, working in drilling in Canada and the Middle East. And you said it was during this time where you realized that there was a need for a shift in the way we got around, the way we have transportation. Can you tell me about what that was? Like, was it a aha moment or what led up to that?
I think it came over time. So I worked largely and mostly only on diesel electric powered rigs. So they had a power plant that drives the whole rest of the rig that's electric. So it's everything was electric, motor driven everywhere, right? You had generators running at standard power or standard RPM, and that was it, right? And just knowing that power at that level and knowing like even just versus a regular rig versus a conventional rig, the fuel savings on a diesel electric versus a regular was just, that was kind of the like, oh, this is why they've done this already, yes. Right? Like, kind of like, okay, so like if it makes sense to this, it's got to make sense further. But it was a lot of the like, well, the battery tech's not there and not quite. Now, what really pushed me over was I was early days of YouTube. So this is probably like 2007, 2008. I've been trying to refine this video, but I can't. But there was a video of a Japanese automaker or somebody, they built an electric car that had 8 wheels. So like 4 in the front, 4 in the back, and a motor on every wheel. And they raced it next to like the fastest Lamborghini on the road at the time. And it basically made it look like it was a child walking next to this car. Like it was the biggest. And you know, this is before the age of not believing in videos and stuff. And you're just like, wow, like this is coming. Like it's, you know what I mean? And it was like, you want to be on the right side of history when things go down. And then, you know, looking at an oil field career and thinking like, this is eventually going to end. Like you either got to be the top of the top to remain in what's relevant, or you got to pivot to where the world is going.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay. Matt. So I can't wait to see this study. When is it going to be done? And how are listeners out there going to be able to get their hands on it? What's the way you're going to get
it out there? I love that question. So we're going to finalize everything by April. Part of the work is to identify how we get the information across to the taxi drivers. And we're working on that now. And we think we might actually do a series of like rolling presentations and just try not to look too suspicious as we're hanging around taxi stands, handing out pieces of paper and chatting with the taxi drivers. We also identified, you know, what are the best podcasts. And so that's kind of why we're here.
Well, that's very nice.
We want to go to the best. So everything will be wrapped up by April, maybe a bit earlier. And then we'll do a follow up next year and see if we've built on the one electric vehicle taxi that we have in Alberta. And maybe we could check in 6 months and see how successful we've been.
I think it's a date. I think in a year's from now, we'll do another plugged in episode with both of you and see how your ambitions have grown. Cause I can't see them not growing.
Great. I would disappoint a lot of people, Andrew, if I didn't leave without a good dad joke.
You're known for those, are you? Okay, let's have it.
I couldn't possibly say. I just want to remind every EV driver that they must have a current license.
Okay.
You can edit that.
No. Hey, I'm raw and unplugged. Well, gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us today. MacRace has become one of the mainstays of the green building movement in Alberta, working on many prestigious projects and achieving the prestigious LEED Fellowship designation, while Daryl Kolowoski is the co-founder of Canada Electric Car Management, an Edmonton-based company. Well, I'm glad I asked that question. Why aren't there more EV taxis? As I've come to appreciate while following and reporting on the EV revolution for more than a decade, things sometimes move slower than EV advocates think they should. Things like overall EV adoption in Canada, the pace of public charging infrastructure rollout, EV inventory at dealerships, and as we heard today, the use of electric vehicles as taxicabs. I've also learned that winning hearts and minds with valid information about EVs is crucial in pushing things forward. It's heartening to hear that Matt and Daryl feel the same way, understanding that to get cab drivers to buy into an electric vehicle, they need to prove to them with facts and figures and debunk those myths that an EV would not only work for them, it would save them money over time. I also like how they see that a fleet of electric taxis would allow many passengers to experience their first ride in an electric vehicle, which in turn debunks myths. I mentioned Vancouver taxi driver Andrew Grant and how he pioneered the use of a hybrid vehicle as a taxi over 2 decades ago, and how initial reaction from fellow drivers and even some passengers was skepticism, if not outright contempt. However, once those drivers saw the proof of concept in using a Toyota Prius as a cab, they bought in. Today, all Andrew's colleagues drive hybrids. I have the same sense that the pioneering work that my two guests are doing in educating and promoting the idea of EV taxis will have a similar outcome. That's it for this episode. Thanks very much to my guests Matt Grace and Daryl Kolowoski, my exceptional producer Adam Foster, and you for joining me on another electrifying journey down the EV highway. For your dose of all things automotive, including up-to-date information on new EVs in Canada, be sure to check out driving.ca, where you'll find the best in breaking news, videos, and reviews. For your dose of all things automotive, including up-to-date information on new EVs in Canada, be sure to check out driving.ca, where you'll find the best in breaking news, videos, and reviews. And be sure to subscribe to Plugged In wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. That way you'll never miss an episode, and you'll also be able to listen to past episodes. And also check out the other three great driving.ca podcasts. The Driving Podcast, hosted by Lorraine Sommerfeld, Truck Guy with Matt Guy, and David Booth's Motormouth Podcast. Thanks as always for listening.